So the aim of this study was to determine the associations of near work and outdoor activity with myopia in Singapore children. I've already described the SCORM study earlier in the day, so I'll skip through these slides. We are primarily analysing the 2006 visit data because we used the same questionnaire as the Singapore myopia study, and the children were aged 11 to 20 years in the year 2006. I've explained before that we asked about near work activity, reading books per week, reading hours per day, computer use and hours per day at baseline, and we asked about it every year during our yearly visits as well. And then in 2006, we worked closely with Cathy Rose, Ian Morgan, Paul Mitchell in the Sydney Market Study, and we used the exact same questionnaires. We adapted a couple of the questions, but it's the same questionnaire that Cathy Rose has shown and described to us. I think that's an advantage because we can then pull the data and compare the patterns of outdoor activities in Australian children and Singapore children. So the questionnaire asks about both sports, indoor and outdoor sports, as well as outdoor leisure and playing outdoors. So in this analysis, we summed the total outdoor activity as non-sports outdoor activities such as playing outdoors and outdoor leisure in hours per day, plus outdoor sports in hours per day. So as mentioned before, we have cycle-pleach auto-refraction measures as well as A-scan biometry measures of the eye. Some of the data were presented previously. From the baseline data, we found that children who read more books per week had a higher risk of moderate myopia, and that odds ratio was about 3 times higher after adjusting for all possible relevant potential confounders. And then previously, we also examined in a cohort longitudinal fashion the risk of developing incident myopia in the first 3 years in the SCORM study. And we found that the most important sort of possible environmental risk factor was IQ performance. In a 45-minute non-verbal Raven IQ test showed that children who actually performed better in their IQ test had a higher risk of developing incident myopia even after adjusting for the number of books read per week and other important risk factors such as parental myopia. But in this cohort longitudinal design, reading in books per week was not associated with the risk of incident myopia. So the relationship between IQ and incident myopia that we found in the cohort study, we're not really sure that myopic children are truly more intelligent. The lots of non-myopic intelligent children in our study as well. Was IQ a surrogate for the ability to perform well at tests? I'm not sure if, you know, a child psychologist may not agree with me, but you know, from observations, it seems that if a child practices and performs more tests, is better at performing tests, he or she may perform better at IQ tests, which may be a reflection of the child's discipline, the child's ability to concentrate, the child's ability to perform at school, the child's ability to perform well in the test. I'll now describe the relationship between outdoor activity and myopia in the 2006 visit. So in 2006, there were 1,249 children when the mean age was about 13.7 years. We presented before the 7 to 9 year old baseline data and showed that children then only spent 3 hours per week outdoors. But by the time they were aged 12 to 20 years in 2006, the children spent more time outdoors and they spent about 3.24 hours per day outdoors. If you looked at this graph, there seems to be some correlation between the amount of time spent on outdoor activity. If a child spent more time on outdoor activity, then the mean spherical equivalent was more likely to be hyperopic. And if a child spent more time on outdoor activity, then the axial length of the eye was more likely to be shorter as well. Outdoor activity was not the reciprocal of near work activity. This scatter plot shows there was almost no correlation between the amount of time spent outdoors and the amount of time spent eating. And the outdoor activity for children who read fewer books and more books per week was similar as well. So we, in three different multivariable models, looking at three different outcomes. The first outcome looked at myopia as a dichotomous variable, and we found that children who spend For every hour increase in outdoor activity, the risk of myopia was 0.9 times, and this was statistically significant even after adjusting for IQ and reading levels per week. When we looked at spherical equivalent as a quantitative trait, we found that that was significant as well. And outdoor activity was also associated with shorter axial lengths after adjusting for other important factors such as reading and IQ level. And when we looked at the area under the curve for three models, the first model was for age, gender, race, or school, which was a base model. We found that the area under the curve was about 0.63. If we looked at all the major risk factors that we looked at before, then that area under the curve increased to about 0.68. And with the addition of outdoor activity to the model to model 3, the area under the curve was statistically significantly greater. So model 3 compared to model 2 showed that that was statistically significantly greater, and the p-value was 0.008, and the area under the curve was greater than for model 2. So in the 2006 visit, we also examined in the same multivariate model the effects of reading in books per week, and we found that reading in books per week in the 2006 visit was not related to myopia or spherical equivalent, but it seems that again, children who perform better in the IQ test had a higher risk of myopia. So at baseline, in the cohort analysis, in the 2006 analysis, again, children who spend more time, children who perform better in the IQ test actually had higher risk of myopia. There was no reciprocal relationship between reading and outdoor activity. We found the same relationship, protective relationship for outdoor activity for children who read fewer books as well as children who read more books. And there was no interaction between outdoor activity, near work activity, and the risk of myopia. Even though previously we found an interaction between parental myopia, reading in books per week, and myopia. So just to summarize some of the data from the Singapore cohort, firstly from the 2006 data, we found that children who spend more time outdoors are less likely, 0.9 times likely, more likely to be myopic after adjusting for relevant confounders. And outdoor activity and near work was not correlated, so children who spend more time outdoors were not reading less. In our baseline data, we found that myopia was moderately associated with near work. But in the cohort analysis, reading in books per week was not related to incident myopia. And then at baseline, in the cohort analysis and in the 2006 data again, we see that children who performed better at the 45-minute IQ test, again, even after adjusting for all the other factors, had higher risk of myopia. So I think Kathy Bose has and Jay Boister have talked about the different possible biological mechanisms, and you know, there's a lot of sunlight in Singapore as well, but children don't seem to spend so much time outdoors. We found that indoor sports was not related to myopia, so it is unlikely to be related to physical activity. Outdoor activity seems to be protective in Singapore children as well. I think this is one of the first few studies conducted in an Asian population. Relationship between near work has been weak. We have found relationships between reading and books per week, but we haven't been able to find strong relationships between reading in hours per day, intensity, breaks per week, or even tuition classes and myopia. Perhaps the problem is that in pediatric cohorts, because of the limitations of questionnaire and the problems with parents trying to recall the amount of activity that a child engages in, there might be a differential risk classification bias, and most of the odds ratios may tend towards the null. So we may need more objective measures on near work, such as 24-hour monitoring devices. So I'd just like to end by thanking our grant funding agency who has funded our cohort for the last few years. Thank you.